us, make a few phone calls, and then we'll be ready to move forward with your hearing, sir.
All right, all right.
Mr. Watt?
Yes, sir. What? Yes, sir, just... And what is your name, sir?
James Wasek, W-A-C-E-K.
Yes, sir. Just hold on, we'll be right with you, sir.
All right, all right.
This is Trina.
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand you wanted to participate in the hearing with Mr. James Wallet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we're in the process of getting ready to start that hearing. There's also another attorney from your office. It's the same number. Do we, Mr. Houston, Marcus Houston?
Oh, you know, I'll take the call.
So, do we need to still contact Mr. Houston?
No.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner, we're ready to begin the hearing, so at this time, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse will serve as our lead for this hearing this morning. So thank you so very much. And the next voice you hear, sir, will be that of the Honorable Ms. Dionne Rittenhouse.
Good morning, Mr. Wasek.
Good morning.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
James Christopher Wasek.
Wasek.
ABC 74642.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge hearing. And it looks like you became eligible for these on October 6, 2014. I'd like to introduce you to the board who's conducting the hearing. Are you having trouble hearing, sir?
No, I hear
something. Okay, good, good. You just had a look on your face like you might have trouble hearing. Okay, sir. Well, I'll introduce the board to you. If you look to your right on the video screen, you'll see the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. Over on the other side of me here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I will be the lead for your hearing today.
All right.
We'll just start with a brief summary. Mr. Wasek is 71 years old. He's serving 25 years to life for the crime of armed robbery, and there's a concurrent aggravated assault and a concurrent burglary in the first degree. I'm going to verify, yes, those are concurrent. And these occurred on November 8, 1988, when he was approximately 41 years old. He was convicted by jury trial, and that occurred on April 15th, 1994, and he was sentenced on May 9th, 1994. I don't see any record that he has appealed that crime. Mr. Wasek has a criminal history that spans several states. I see Minnesota, California, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Colorado. And they may have been resolved, but I'm showing six outstanding warrants from the 1987-88 era in Utah and Nevada. His criminal history started, it looks, in 1964 with unauthorized use of a means of transportation, two auto thefts, burglary, another auto theft, receiving stolen property, burglary, forgery, two more auto thefts, and a parole violation, DUI, marijuana violation, another DUI, stolen property, auto theft, escape, aggravated robbery, assault, prohibited possessor of a weapon, DUI, escape, and shoplifting. And those were all, at a minimum, arrests, and many of them were convictions. His prison discipline history is significant. He has 24 majors. His last major was in 2014, and he has a minor in 2015. I'm going to see what that was about. That minor was for... disrespect to staff, and that was in 2015. He received a verbal reprimand for that. And his last major was a positive refusal to give a UA. It was also one of those in 2013. And in 2013, a possession of drug paraphernalia. So a little bit of drug use indicated at that point. This should be Mr. Wessex's seventh hearing before this board, around the seventh hearing. And it looks like he was granted parole in June of 2016, and that was revoked in April of 2017. Notes here indicated that he had used meth. My notes indicate he had used that at a Super Bowl party at the Viva Halfway House. He has some older letters of support from his family or the community, but nothing current. We have no victims and no supporters here today. His release plans would include going to the TLC Halfway House, the 90-day program. He'll have Social Security income, and he has stated that he would attend AA daily if he were to be released. So Mr. Wessex, I've given quite a summary, and we want to talk now about the crime itself, sir. And I can just say generally it involved a robbery, but could you tell us what happened that day, sir?
I was a lot younger then. I was crazier, and I had a heroin habit, and I had this little .22 pistol, and the drugs I was using were kind of expensive back in them days, and I needed money, and so I went into this little grocery store up in Flagstaff, and I took the money out of the cash register, and I left. And that's really what it amounted to. I know it was a terrible thing to do. But when you're in the shape that I was in, and so I thought, you know.
So who did you encounter at the grocery store?
There was a clerk behind the counter, and I told him that what I was doing there, you know, and that I should have the money.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
Okay. And tell us what happened. What did you do? You came in with a gun, and what happened?
Yes. Well, I walked up to the counter, I showed it to her, and I said, I want the money out of the cash register. And she handed it to me, and I took it, and I told her to stay where she was until I was gone. And that's what happened. I mean, I left. I sure didn't hurt her or anything. I didn't do anything physical.
Okay, so you didn't touch her, you didn't hit her?
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
That's not, you know, I can't believe I even did something like that. I'm not a violent, physical, you know, assaulted person. I never have been. I've done a lot of bad things, but that's one thing that it's just not my personality.
Yeah, your record doesn't reflect any violent offenses.
No, it's just something that I can't do with. It's just, for being as bad a character as I am, that's not one of the things that I do.
Okay, sir. So, when was the last time you used an illegal drug, sir?
Oh, it was, I think it was in February. We were waiting for the Super Bowl. In fact, it was right before the Super Bowl. And there was a bunch of people gathered together, and we were just talking about the game. And next thing I knew, somebody was passing around this pipe. And
Okay, and that was when you were on parole?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and it looks like, what about these instances that I mentioned before from 2015, 14, 13? Were you using drugs in prison there?
I was, yes.
Okay, what were you using there?
Heroin.
Heroin, okay.
Yeah, that's been, the meth stuff is, it's a terrible thing as far as I'm concerned, but I did it that night.
Oh, so you don't really normally use meth then?
No, that's not my...
That's not your thing, okay.
No, not at all.
Okay, but your main drug of choice has been heroin all these years?
All the years, yeah.
Okay, so...
And it hasn't done me very good.
Yeah, I can see that. So but the last time you used it, you were saying, was this maybe around 2014 when you had these disciplines?
Yeah, yes.
Haven't used it at all since then?
No, I haven't. I haven't used it in here. I didn't use it out there. I was there for 7 months.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
This particular night, something that has been a lot of trouble for me, but I think I've overcome it.
And what did you do to overcome it?
I was in a halfway house the whole time that I was out there.
Right.
Like 7 months. Every day I was in the halfway house, and I went to meetings every day. And I went to groups and programs. I don't know how much they helped me. I mean, I learned a lot. But I think mostly when it comes right down to it, a person has to make up their mind to do something, and it's a lot easier to do that way. Of course, now I'm old, and I don't... drugs just aren't part of being this age, you know.
Okay. And have you made up your mind then?
It's made up, yeah.
Your mind is made up.
And I've been able to do it here. I've been able to do it out there. I'm really confident. I know I relapsed there for a little time, but ever since then, I've been good. It's actually kind of easy.
Have you been an alcohol user through your life?
Not to the point where it's been a problem for me. Mostly it's the drugs.
So it's the heroin mostly for you?
Well, yeah. I grew up in the 60s. I don't know if you remember that, or I'm sure you do. You know what happened back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and you know, that's just the lifestyle that it's been part of me.
Okay, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Wasik? Mr. Johnson has a question for you, sir.
So, Mr. Wasik, when you were revoked in 2016, sir, you said that you had only used methamphetamine one time?
Yes.
So, I'm looking at your revocation, and it looks like you had... four negatives, but you also had five times where you didn't have a sample collected. Why didn't you have a sample collected?
I did. I don't know why they wrote that. You know what happened? And this is the honest to God truth. I had surgery on my leg. I was in the hospital for a while. And they gave me a prescription when I left there, a pain prescription. And so... apparently, when I went to do the samples, that was a positive of some kind. I don't know. I think it was opiate. It was Percocet, whatever that is. And it really helped me with the pain. But I don't know why they wrote it that way. I had a copy of that too, and I couldn't figure it out because they were aware of me taking that medication.
Okay, so when did you have the surgery, sir?
It was in November, I believe. November of 17.
November of 17?
Yes.
Okay, so you had a bill sample collected September 5th of 16, October of 16, no sample collected, then November of 16, you were negative. And then you came back, November of 16, no sample collected, December of 16, no sample collected, and then January, no sample collected, 17, and then January 24th, you were negative, and then February, you were positive for methamphetamine. So I'm trying to understand, sir, you had all of those no sample collected, and I'm just trying to get to see if you can explain to me why you had all of those.
Well, that's the only thing I can think of. I might have had the year wrong. I think it was 16 that I had this surgery. It had to be November 16. But the only reason, I read the same thing, and I don't know. I mean, the parole department wasn't lenient with me. They were pretty strict with me, and they would not allow me to miss giving a sample. I gave a sample every time my color came up. I was there even at the halfway house. They took samples and tests and everything else. And I was never positive, except for maybe that medication. I don't know. I told them the day that I got it, I took it down there and I said, hey, they gave me this at the hospital, which they did. I read the same thing, and I'm a little bit confused too, but it's not that I refused. They wouldn't allow that. I'm sure you know that.
So why who are these people who were just sitting around with and decided to smoke meth?
They were residents at the halfway house.
Now, why did you have to smoke at that time?
Okay. Well, you know what? I can't. That's one thing I have no explanation for. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever done. And I've done a few of them. But, I didn't go out on there that night. I didn't intend to do anything bad. I had no intent at all. I mean, it was just the night before the Super Bowl, and big football fan, you know. And all of a sudden, somebody handed me that thing, and I don't know. I think about that all the time. Why? What made me do that? But I think those things happen to people when they've had a pretty serious problem. Over their lifetime. I don't think it'll happen again. I can promise you that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right.
Mr. Wilson, can you tell us about your family?
Well, my mom and dad are dead. They died shortly after I was arrested, and I got married to my high school girlfriend, and we had a daughter, and she's, there's been a long time that I haven't seen her, but I've been in touch with her. I call her and I write to her, and she's invited me to come up there and stay with her, and now I have two little granddaughters. That I've never seen. I wish I could. And to me, I think my family is probably, right now, I know I went through a lot of crazy things in my life, and I probably wasn't the most attentive dad in the world, but they forgive me, and they want me to come up there and be with them. I just got some new pictures of my granddaughter. They want me to go fishing with them. I can't imagine anything better than that. That's probably the most important thing in the world that anybody's ever said to me,
Okay. Where are they, sir?
They're in Newcastle, Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
Yeah. I tried to get up there when I was out on parole. I paid the fee and everything to have the paperwork done. And they
you were using the math at the Super Bowl party is what caused that to not happen then?
Yes.
Right, okay.
She said she was going to write to you. I don't know if she did or not.
We don't have a current letter. We have, I think we have some older, we have older letters, but not a current one.
You didn't get a current one? I thought she said she wrote, but maybe you got misplaced.
I did not see one, but I don't know, fellow board members. We have quite a nice packet from you with some of your drawings and...
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have some of your drawings here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should see my daughter's drawings. Huh? She turned into quite a skilled person, artist, you know.
She inherited that talent from you.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Lossick? Okay, Mr. Lossick, we have a representative from the Coconino County Attorney's Office on the phone, and she wanted to have an opportunity to present. So I'm going to give her the opportunity to present information to the board at this time, sir. So, Ms. Suecio?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to present information to the board? Just start by stating your name, please.
Thank you. My name is Dorita Suecio, the Coconino County Attorney's Office. So the state's concern in this case is, as the defendant has stated several times, that he had a problem with heroin when he committed this crime back in the 1980s. The defendant was then released on parole. While on parole, is then missing UAs and then ultimately used methamphetamine. Although he says methamphetamine is not his drug of choice, what his actions demonstrate is that it doesn't matter what the drug is, he'll still use it. And this is also while he's in the midst of being in a 90-day program and the halfway house and attending all these treatment programs. It's interesting that he said that he's made his mind up about not using drugs. And the science behind addiction is not that simple, just saying, I'm not going to do it. There's got to be active treatment and conscious decisions within learning from that treatment. And he even made statements about that that the treatment didn't really change him. He learned a lot, but it didn't change him. So these are very concerning. When the defendant's entire criminal history speaks of substance abuse issues, and then some of those violations that occurred before he even was released, as was elicited today, were for using or possessing heroin while in custody. Unfortunately, I'm not privy to the treatment or lack thereof that the defendant has completed while in custody. I'd be very curious to hear if he's actually done any treatment since being revoked off of parole and while we're sitting here today. That's what's concerning for the state is that we have somebody of the defendant's age who clearly has a substance abuse problem, but even with the treatment that he was receiving out of custody, hasn't changed ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Suecio, and I will ask you, Mr. Lossick, I'm looking in your record right now. Have you completed treatment since you've been back?
Well, since I've been back, I go, there's an alcoholic program, which is pretty much the same thing I've been dealing with. And I go to it every day. It's in the building that I go to. I don't think there's a certificate from there.
Is it AA, sir?
Yes, it is.
So you go to AA every day?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's an ongoing thing, and it even was when I was out on parole. I mean, it was voluntary. You know, you go if you think you need it.
Right.
And I did.
Well, your record shows that you completed two substance abuse, whether education or some kind of substance abuse classes. But those would have been, I think, back before you got out and had your relapse. And obviously, as the attorney mentioned, the concern is just that you haven't had treatment or other than this AA, which is a good program. I mean, there's no question. That's one of those things you do for the rest of your life. But any other types of treatment since you've been back?
No, no, except for the growing up,
We might want to ask ask your CO3, there's a design for living, there's a self-study course you can take, which you don't have to meet as a group, it's a self-study. So that might be something you can do. So there are some things that you could do.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so we're coming toward the end of your hearing if no board members have questions. But I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if you'd like to. Without repeating something you've already told us, you've told us quite a lot today, and we appreciate that. So anything else we should know?
Nothing major. I want you to understand that I'm not a threat to anybody. I can't even walk. I'm in a wheelchair now. As far as the criminal stuff, it's over. And I can't make any promises about my drug use, but I have it under control. I've been tested here. And I'm clean. I haven't messed with the stuff since I've been back. And I did pretty good out on the street out there on parole in the halfway house. I did real good. I screwed up one time, but that's something that happens to a person who has this type of problem. And I'd just like one more chance to do it right. Do it over again. Do it right.
Okay, Mr. Wasik. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. The board is going to, you've done this before, so you know the board goes into discussion, and we'll be back with you in just a moment, sir. Okay, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Wasik, I'm hearing in his voice a desire to stop using drugs. I'm just not I'm not seeing action on his part to get involved in anything. And I know there may not be things available, actually classes that you go to, but there are self-study programs that he could take. I do hear, and I want to be encouraging to him, I hear his voice just lights up when he talks about his daughter and his grandchildren. And he must be very proud of that, especially the way his daughter has inherited his artistic talent. I think that's very nice, and I think he's realized that the kind of family is where it's at. But that still brings us back to the fact that he was granted for opportunity in 2016 and was only out for 7 months and he violated. And I would just like to see some more sobriety before he's released on community supervision again. Those are my thoughts. I would defer to any other information from fellow board members. Comments, Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I do have I'm not sure that he just used that methamphetamine one time since he had all of those negatives. Where he failed to test, no sample collected, and he really can't give a reasonable explanation of why he didn't take those samples, and they were like a month apart. He was only doing it once a month, and so he did have some negatives in between there. I'd like to see him do some programming while he's there before he's released. Those did commit 3 armed robberies while he was armed with a revolver.
That he was, thank you, sir. Any other comments from board members?
I agree.
Okay. Then I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to move to deny general parole home arrest or absolute discharge for Mr. Wasik 74642. And based on the year of the crime, I'm going to request a 1-year set off.
Second.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. And reason of the release type denied is 12A411 on arrest. Reasons for denial, I'm going to say serious and violent offense because a weapon was used. I would say trauma to the victim. It was a woman. She was robbed at gunpoint. I'm not going to check victim harassment because I believe he did not. He said he didn't hit her, he didn't hurt her, he didn't do anything. Prior criminal history. I'm not going to check for institutional behavior. He did have the recent, the drug use, though, which concerns me in 2014 and 2015 in the prison. And then, of course, the revocation based on drug use is a concern. I am going to check lack of programming. He does mention that he has the family in Colorado, but there is no one here to speak, whether on telephone or in person or letters. So I'm going to say no family community support system. And poor no release plan, because we really don't have much other than he had said he would go to TLC for a 90-day program, and he did mention that he would attend AA daily. So do board members think of any other reasons that should be included for this? Okay, thank you. Back to you, Mr. Rossick. You heard the board's discussion, and the board has voted to deny parole this time. I think you understand our concerns, and that's we'd like to see some more sobriety, sir, from you, and a longer period of sobriety since that 2015, and then of course the slip in 2017 when you were outside, sir. So we wish you the best, sir. Can try to get yourself some programming, and do ask about those self-study classes, because they're very good. It's very good materials.
All right.
Okay, sir. So do you have any questions for us?
No.
Okay, sir. You'll be certified to come before the board again in approximately a year. So we'll see you then. And thank you, Ms. Salacio, for being on the phone. We appreciate it.
Thank you
for everyone's participation. And the hearing's concluded, sir. Could you give the phone back to the CO3? Thank you.